If you're in the rotation and you're on hold, hang in there. I'll get your phone calls in. If not, I've got one phone line open, 1-800-636-8686. We are joined right now by a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. We consider him a very good friend of the program. He is Charles Robinson. Charles, what's up? How are you?
What's going on, Jim? How are you doing this morning?
Good, man. Great. Great to have you back. Thanks so much. Number of places to start, a number of topics I want to get to, but let me start where I started the program with Quentin Nelson's keg stand TD celebration. Man, how big of a roller coaster ride was that? The joy of the big fella breaking out the celebration and then the heartbreak of that TD being ripped away. What was that like for you?
It doesn't matter. The celebration overshadowed a fat man TD any day of the week. That it's a celebration that will live on in infamy. I'm sure every Notre Dame alum has to be smiling with pride right now. Greatest single celebration of any I've ever seen. And I don't know why more skill position players don't say to offensive linemen, you know what, I'm probably going to score my 14th touchdown this season. I'm going to give you the ball because you guys do it better than anybody else.
It's a great point. Charles Robinson joining us. I'm glad you said that. It doesn't matter whether or not the touchdown counted. You cannot take that celebration from the big fella. All right, Senator, you and your colleague Jay Busby have got a piece up on Yahoo about Colin Kaepernick's workout on Saturday. Before we get into that, take me back a little bit earlier. When you first heard from the league that there might be breaking news coming, what was your thought? And then last week when you heard it would involve Kaepernick, what did you think it was?
Well, that's the interesting thing is you're starting to see the league, you know, they've made some changes in their communications department, and I think they're leaning into controlling the narrative of stories that they feel like they don't want to get away from them. And they did this with the Jay-Z setup. When they cut the deal with Jay-Z, the business partnership, that rollout was, hey, there's this thing that's going to happen in New York. You might want to be there. We can't say what it is. You know, it was shrouded in mystery. And then with the Kaepernick situation, it was the same thing. You know, they reached out to select media members and they said, hey, there's something going on next Tuesday. Just be prepared. There could be some big news. Set some time aside. But they weren't going to tell anyone what it was. And then Tuesday rolls around and lo and behold, they call Colin Kaepernick's representatives for the first time in over a year. And they say, hey, we want to put on a workout for Colin Kaepernick, sort of a pro day workout, and invite all the teams. And we want to do it on Saturday. And not only were Colin Kaepernick's representatives and Colin Kaepernick himself stunned by this, when I started to call around the NFL teams, they were like, what? Like, we don't know what this is. We don't know where this came from. We have no idea who we're going to send, if we're going to send anyone. It was just like this materialized out of thin air. And for the better part of a week, we've been sitting there going, why? And no one's been able to answer that question. Teams haven't. The league hasn't. Even Kaepernick's camp is like, you know, we aren't sure why they're going to do this. But then when it finally happened on Saturday and this whole thing melted down and the league had tried to get Colin Kaepernick to sign this waiver, I think that's what we ultimately figured out, that this entire workout itself was essentially a Trojan horse by the league to try and accomplish one thing, and that was to get Colin Kaepernick to sign a waiver that had two clauses in it, a long workout waiver that had two clauses that basically said, you know what, in the future, you are essentially agreeing that you're not going to sue us for anything that's employment related, either directly or indirectly related to this workout. To me, that's what this all was. This was a big Trojan horse built around one thing happening, getting Colin Kaepernick to sign a waiver that he would never, ever go after the league again for not being in the NFL.
Charles Robinson joining us. All right, so what's your sense then? That they weren't going to see that, or that if he wanted back in badly enough, he would just sign that and waive that?
It could be either of those, really. I mean, let me put it to you this way. When I saw the waiver, I got a copy of the waiver myself, and I started to read through it, and I'm like, first off, this thing is insanely long. Like, this isn't a normal liability waiver that, hey, we indemnify everybody just in case Colin Kaepernick gets injured or any of these receivers, the people running it, you know, the Falcons, the league, yada, yada, yada. I mean, this thing was literally, I think it was like a good 2 pages long, you know, fine print, multiple clauses in it. And what I thought was interesting was when Kaepernick said no, And then the camp, their camp basically came out and said, look, there's this crazy waiver they're trying to get us to sign. This is ridiculous. This thing's insanely long. We just sent them a basic liability waiver saying, hey, we're waiving, you know, the rights to go after anybody if he gets injured. You know, the league came out and said, hey, no, this is something based upon what prospects sign when they go into the combine. Well, what's interesting about that is agents don't ever see that waiver that player signed to take part in the NFL's combine. So you have no idea if it truly is something that's similar to it. But what I thought what was interesting is they used the phrase, the league did, when they defended this waiver. They did not say it was the combine waiver. They didn't say it was the same thing. They said it was, quote unquote, based on the combine waiver. I think what we're going to find out is the league put a lot of time and effort into how this entire waiver was worded. And I think they did that for a very specific reason. They tried to sneak it in. I think I do not put it past the league to try to sneak this in and make sure that if he was going to sign anything, it was going to protect the league in the long run. I think that's the one thing that came out of this where you're like, why would they have done this? What is the upside here? This was clearly upside in terms of potential future litigation.
Charles Robinson is joining us. All right, so is that in and of itself the reason the location of the workout was moved, or was there something else that went into that decision?
I think that was actually a number of things. I mean, the waiver to me was it. That was it. That was sort of the coup de grace. Like, I think they wouldn't hand over this list of teams that were attending. Now, they said, hey, there were 25 teams in attendance. No one even knows if that's true because no one saw these team attendees other than the attendees who moved over to the high school on the south side of Atlanta, which I think it ultimately came out to be 8 teams. The NFL said, hey, we had 25 teams there. Well, that's the NFL saying that. We don't have a list of names. I don't have 25 teams confirming this. No one was in the facility at that point to actually count 25 individuals who were on hand. So that's the NFL saying 25 teams showed up to this. The lack of transparency in terms of the attendees was one. The fact that the NFL said, we want to control the video, you know, we want to be the choke point for the video. We'll eventually give you the video, but we want to be in control of it initially. Kaepernick's camp was not okay with that. They said, look, we're not going to trust you to have the video. We'd rather disperse the video if teams want it. That's, we can disperse raw footage. We'll have a crew here to videotape it as well. The NFL said no. And then when Kaepernick's camp said, okay, fine, then open it to the media. At least let someone else in to view this so it's not this private affair where you get to control the words that come out on this thing. Let someone else see it. The NFL said no again. And I think at that point they were just like, forget it. And then I think the league stepped in it a little bit when they put out their release and suggested that part of the footage that would have been filmed by Kaepernick's crew would have been used by Nike at a later date. Nike came out and straight up said that's just not true. Like, that's not true. We didn't ask to shoot any of this for a commercial, nothing of the sort. And then Nike kind of went after the NFL behind the scenes saying, hey, you need to clear this up. Now, that never happened, but now it's obviously come out that when the NFL put out this idea that, oh, part of this was, you know, potentially a commercial for Nike or to be used in a commercial for Nike, it just wasn't factual.
We're talking to Charles Robinson. Last thought on that. So how did the actual workout go, and do you think that he's going to get a serious look from any NFL team as a result of that workout?
I don't think he's going to get a serious look. I think they knew going into this that the way this entire thing was engineered, I think they knew this was a dog and pony show, and ultimately it was something that was built around trying to get legal cover by the use of this waiver, you know, long-term legal cover. And no, I mean, I think he showed in his workout, you know, look, it was all about the arm strength. It was about, you know, his physique. You know, this was a guy who, when he played his last snap for the San Francisco 49ers, I think he was 20 to 25 pounds lighter than he is right now. Where he is physically now is more along the lines of when they made the Super Bowl. His weight, his strength, his overall physique is definitely back to the, you know, his peak playing days. And then I think he wanted to display his arm strength, which you talk to anyone, they said, look, Colin Kaepernick, when he's in the best shape, he has an elite level arm. He did that. Now, did it display his overall fitness? No. Was it the most crisp, you know, fast paced workout that maybe you see in some of these elite level prospects when you go to colleges? No. But I think the basic traits of, look, does he have the talent to have an individual team bring him in and consider him for a quarterback position? Yeah, I think he displayed that. But I don't sense any optimism whatsoever from any of the teams I've talked to or from Colin Kaepernick's camp that this is really going to result in a job.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports breaking that down. I appreciate that. Listen, before you go, what do you make of what you saw last night from the Bears? They're down by 10. Chase Daniel takes the field late in the game, and the team will have you believe, and Mitch Trubisky as well, that I got a hip issue. It's a hip injury. Do you think that's what that was, or how much of that was about their offensive issues?
I think the hip issue is that it's attached to Mitch Trubisky, and he's not playing well for the Chicago Bears. In as much as it's an injury, however they want to sugarcoat it and whatever excuses they want to make for why he may not have been on the field late last night, the bottom line is Mitch Trubisky has not progressed this season. This was supposed to be his big step forward. That has not taken place at all, in the fashion they hoped at all. And when you talk to opposing pro personnel directors, they tell you, look, we scout them. We advance scout the Bears. Whenever they try to make Mitch Trubisky a pocket quarterback, it is not working. That is not playing to his strengths. This is not unfolding the way that they expected. And you will never, ever, ever get away from this. And the Bears are ruining this reality. Deshaun Watson was taken after him. Pat Mahomes was taken after him. And you moved up to select Mitch Trubisky. You outbid nobody for the right to select him second overall. It's an unmitigated disaster for Chicago, and I guarantee you this offseason will be geared toward bringing in a strong veteran who either can challenge him for the starting job or will be the plan B to keep everybody from getting fired if this repeats itself next season.
One last topic. When you look at what the Ravens have done to the Seahawks, the Patriots, and now the Texans, what kind of thoughts do you have?
I how do you stop them? Like, figure it out. I think once they beat the brakes off the Patriots, I think you sat there and you said, okay, well, this is clearly the team that no one wants to run into in the playoffs. They're going to have a problem solving this team. Lamar Jackson's accuracy is far better from the pocket. I think as long as he maintains his mobility, because a lot of his game flows out of his ability to be faster than everyone, to move, to create, as long as he doesn't get injured and you know, isn't limited in that way, he's going to continue to give teams fits. But I will say this about the Patriots. When the Patriots lost in the regular season last year to Kansas City, Bill Belichick held back a certain margin of what he was doing, knowing I'm probably going to see this team in the playoffs, if not in the AFC Championship game. I'm going to figure out exactly how to resolve my issues with this team on a one-game basis. I guarantee you that's what the Patriots were doing against the Baltimore Ravens. They didn't show their full envelope of everything they had prepared. I think they're ready to see the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC title game, and I think that's going to happen.
Charles Robinson is a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He is a co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast, good friend of the program. Really quickly then, do you think Jackson is getting the level of respect that he deserves? As good as he is right now, and people are paying attention, is he still getting the level of respect that warrants it?
I don't, because he goes through the first quarter on Sunday. I think he started 1-for-6, and immediately it brought out the chorus of, oh, Lamar Jackson's still not accurate. You know, oh, it's still the same accuracy issues. The guy came into the game completing like 66% of his passes, okay? And then after the 1-for-6 start, he went 16-for-18. Maybe he's good enough now that we can go ahead and give him the opportunity to have a slow start and work it out. You know, you don't have all these other quarterbacks who are given that respect as, you know, just pure passers. If they go for a, you know, 2-for-8 stretch or a 3-for-10 stretch, we're not all of a sudden saying, oh, geez, what the heck? He accept what it is. He's taken a big jump forward in terms of his ability as a passer this year. Let him work the kinks out like he did on a Sunday and accept that, hey, you know what? He's 22 years old. 22! He's going to only get better at this stage as long as injury doesn't slow him down. And I think as a passer, he's already shown a big leap over last season. That's the area of respect that I think people are too quick to jump on him for inaccuracy on a quarter-by-quarter basis rather than saying, he's at the level now. Let him go a couple of games and work the problems out if he runs into him.
Right. Meanwhile, everybody who plays with him and plays against him is pretty much in awe of what this guy's doing now on a weekly basis. He's a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He's a co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast and broke it all down. Charles, thank you so much. Great job, man.
Absolutely. Always my pleasure, Jim. Take care.
Good talking to you. Appreciate your time. Always appreciate you making time for us and this program, Charles Robinson. All right, so obviously you've dug in on Colin Kaepernick. Like, you've got your thought, you've got your take. You're not coming off that. I get that. I'm not here to change your mind. That was very interesting, though, what he's alleging. That when you ask the question, why would the league do this now? And why would the league inform certain members of the media, but not Kaepernick, or certain members of the media before Kaepernick? What does the league get out of this? Were they trying to get him to consent to not suing them? Would they go to all that trouble for that? Would you put it by the league?